You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In 1979, Time magazine announced it would begin using metric units in its science and medicine sections, proudly estimating that within the decade, all Americans would be learning a new language in their kitchens, factories, automobiles, and local bars. But a poll at the time found that we felt less than excited about learning that new language, and what followed was a fear campaign full of misinformation. And then, as a result of budget cuts, President Reagan announced in 1982 he would be axing not only the conversion to the metric system, but the entire U.S. metric board. Whatever happened to the metric system, how America kept its feet, is published by Bloomsbury Press, and I'm very pleased that it brings its author, John Bemelmans Marciano, to our show today. Hello.
Hi, Leonard.
How many countries around the world don't use the metric system?
It's something like 8. I don't think anyone is exactly sure. There's us, there's Myanmar, Liberia, and then an uncertain number of Pacific countries like Micronesia, Guam.
And do they use the British system, I'm not sure whether to call it the imperial system or
the imperial system is actually a little bit different than American customary measures. It started in 1824 after we had kind of already split. So if you've ever gone to a pub and ordered a pint and gotten a little drunker than you thought you should, it's because there's about 4 more ounces of beer for that.
And that leads to problems when you're using a British cookbook and you think you're doing the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, cooking is completely insane because, you know, are you using dry measures? Are you using wet measures? Teaspoons and tablespoons are actually metric, but no one even knows that. It's a complete mess.
The simplicity of the metric system is what appeals to the rest of the world. Everything is divisible by 10. And yet the vast majority of Americans prefer this other kind of measurement. Is that because we're just used to it?
Well, you know, I think the one thing you have to realize is that every country, the people always preferred whatever they had. It took France 60 years for them to even, and it was the metric system was originated in France during the Revolution. But it took them 60 years to really even get it used at all in the
public markets.
Were
they measuring with hectares and things like that?
No, they were still using the points, and they were using their version of the feet. Toises was the most popular measure. Pints, French pints.
Wasn't there resistance in Great Britain before they switched over to the metric system?
Well, Great Britain would have never switched over, I don't think, if it hadn't been for their desire to get into the European community. And unlike in America, where it's never really been a partisan issue, in Britain it was a partisan issue. The Labour Party pushed hard to get Britain on the metric system. And then when Thatcher came in, she axed it.
She axed it, but now they have the metric system,
well,
and everybody seems to be happy with it.
Well, they had gone about 50-50, and then in the late 90s when the European – and everybody kind of like, okay, you know, the Brits aren't quite on board, but there was so much that wasn't really unified in, you know, within the EC. When in 1999, when the European Union came into effect, Britain was able to get an opt-out of the euro, but they were not able to get an opt-out of the metric system. So at that point, they had to go hard metric.
Why was it decided that the metric system should be the world standard? To some degree, Napoleon spread it through much of Europe, but still, I'd imagine there was resistance everywhere.
You know, Napoleon spread it, but he also spread the metric calendar, which was, had 10-day weeks. And he was actually more of a proponent than he was of the metric system.
Time between weekends.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was actually the main problem the French people had with it. It really wasn't actually until the second French Revolution, the July Revolution of 1830, which brought this nostalgia for everything revolutionary like the tricolor flag, that the metric system really had its comeback.
You bring an autobiographical element into this book because you grew up at a time when it was assumed that we would be switching to the metric system? Were you being taught it in your school? In school?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think there's this generation of if it's anyone my age, 5 years, you know, younger or older, I was born in 1970. They know exactly what I'm talking about. I think people who are older, it seemed like a blip. People who are younger can't even quite believe it. But Ford passed the Metric Act in 1975, and the assumption was we would be metric really by 1980. And so, yeah, growing up, I had my little blue plastic metric ruler and coloring book and all that stuff.
A special hero. There was also a soda that was invented.
Well, there was the 1 liter and 2 liter bottles came out. I had the Metric Man coloring book who he fought against, the hero of the customary measures, Bad Man.
So the liter bottles, which are common now. That's our only concession to the metric system?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There was not a lot of resistance. There was basically no resistance to liter bottles, nor was there really any resistance to alcohol, wine and hard liquor going from fifths to 750 milliliters. The resistance came when road signs started going up in kilometers, and especially when gas pumps started changing over to liters.
My guest is John Bemelman's Marciano. His book, Whatever Happened to the Metric System, How America Kept Its Feet. That name Bemelman's will sound familiar to a lot of people. Isn't this your first book for adults you've written?
No, I've actually done a couple of other books for adults. I did one called A Non-Eponymous and another one, Toponymity.
But most people know you for your books about the Madeline character that your grandfather created.
Yeah, I've actually, I've continued on with doing more Adventures of Madeline.
You mentioned the road signs, but yeah. Americans have to contend with road signs whenever they drive to Canada, whether they go to Mexico, or if they rent a car in Europe.
And they have no idea how fast they're going. That may be the single most dangerous part of us not being metric.
Do we know what the origins of the measurements inches, feet, yards, and miles is?
Yeah. Basically, they're truly universal measures. I mean, essentially, every culture on Earth used they use the foot, they use their forearm, they use their span. The fathom is standardized at 6 feet, but it is just basically, you know, it's one's wingspan.
And the Welsh used a measurement called the leap for longer distances. The French had something called a hoopie.
Yeah, hoopie or hoopé, which was how far down the street someone could walk and yell hoopé, and someone would still be able to hear them.
So that was a real measurement?
Yeah, I mean...
But I've always wondered why the mile. What is it, 3,000? I can't remember.
Well, the mile is in some respects...
It seems so arbitrary.
The mile is in some respects the first semi-decimal measurement. It was a mille. Is based on Latin for 1,000. It was 1,000 paces. So a pace was 5 feet. And it was only during medieval times that it got corrupted to 5,280 feet, I think.
You would have thought that we would have been one of the first countries to adopt the metric system. After all, we were the first one to use a metric system in our money, weren't we?
We were the first, and that was very important. There was this idea that we were using a revolutionary form of measurement. And Thomas Jefferson, when he was Secretary of State, the first Secretary of State, he laid out a plan, which was really the first, you know, official plan by a government to take our measures decimal. He was also
Would it have been the metric system?
No,
he was in love with France.
Well, he was in love with France. The metric system hadn't been invented yet. But he found out when he was putting the finishing touches on his plan. When he found out that France was proposing a new plan of measurement, so he actually asked the Congress to hold off approving his plan to see what they came up with. And the funny thing is that he actually hated what they came up with because it was very it was based on a particularly French version of measurement, and there were problems. The metric system was in some ways unnecessarily revolutionary. I mean, there were measures that, you know, there were scientific measures that the metric system could have been based on that really would have made it much easier for a lot of countries in Europe to have adopted it.
When did we adapt the Fahrenheit rather than the Celsius method of measuring temperature?
Well,
because Celsius just makes so much more sense. Zero is freezing.
Well, the one thing I would offer that Celsius is the one is really the one measurement of the metric system that really is arbitrary. I mean, it's not even the system, the SI system of measurement, which is really the official metric measures, doesn't even use Celsius. They use Kelvin at absolute zero. It's almost insane to have negative numbers for temperature. I mean, there is no, it makes calculation very difficult. So really,
but we have below zero.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying Fahrenheit is more sensible in that respect. There's also the thought that, you know, water is a relatively, in some places, I think, you know, in some places water boils at 200 degrees Celsius. It's more of a, it's still somewhat arbitrary.
What happened in this country? We had, with a renewed interest in science, as a result of the National Defense Education Act in 1958, discussion again of going metric. And then we had metric reports under Nixon.
Yeah.
You mentioned Gerry Ford.
Yeah.
Signed the Metric Conversion Act of 1975, and we were supposed to move into metrics then.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, what happened was, you know, what happened, a lot of people don't realize, what happened is we actually went metric. All of our industry basically went metric. The aerospace industry has been a long holdout. The construction industry is a bit of a holdout. Also, in the late 80s, under Reagan and Bush and Clinton, there was a considerable strengthening of the metric requirements, whereas now all federal contracts have to be in metric. I think what happened was, whereas companies realized the important thing was for us to stay competitive, so anyone who needed to stay competitive started to do what they needed to do metrically. Whereas, you know, the everyday person, where it really didn't make that much of an impact in their lives, they just didn't want to change. So we didn't change. And without a government directing that you must change, we basically just adapted where we needed to.
And then sometimes we got confused. In 1999, NASA lost a $125 million Mars climate orbiter because it used both metric and inches and feet.
Yeah, that's always brought up, and it sparked a fascinating debate in physics journals and places where there are some scientists who feel that there are what they call the SI police, the people who are too just doggedly metric and want to point out that, you know, we need to go. But they're also not even accepting of measures like light years that scientists use. Or there's a measure for Joule called the jelly donut, just because people can understand that much energy, that many calories in a good way. So I think some of it is a question of, can you go too far in science?
Well, you go the other way as well. People like Dean Krenkle from the National Cowboy Hall of Fame, and then Bob Green, the nationally syndicated columnist, suggested that if we went metric, it would be unpatriotic. And George Orwell's 1984 was invoked by opponents.
Well, yeah. There was a he made the metric system the official measurement system of Big Brother. Which I think is kind of an interesting thing.
We'll be talking about that book tomorrow, by the way. It's
really
part of our book club, because there are a lot of things in it. The sales went up when Edward Snowden's revelations became public.
Yeah. There was definitely a patriotic – there were these, you know, patriotic people who were very much, you know – Dean Krenkle was just – he was infuriated that there was a textbook that had Buffalo Bill riding over kilometers of the West. But I was surprised that there was a very thoughtful wing of metric opposition by people like Zama Noguchi and Tom Wolfe and Stuart Brand and a man named Siever Leslie who, you know, saw something, especially Stuart Brand, saw that what – really pushed the metrics, and what really made it the world system of measurement is not science. I mean, if scientists were able to dictate how the world was, we'd have a very different world. It was really capitalism. The metric system really greased international trade in a remarkable way.
Well, wouldn't it help American business if we went metric, or are we such a powerful economy on our own right that we don't have to worry about the rest of the world in the same way that our television is NTSC rather than PAL or CCAM, which are better systems, but we have ours?
Well, I would say that, I mean, you know, the metric, I mean, American companies, if they want to export, they just make, you know, they just make metric products. If you go to the supermarket, you know, you'll see, and especially in the beverage aisle, you'll see quarts of water next to liters of water.
What actually happened? Why did Ronald Reagan finally get rid of the metric system? He, to some degree, he did it after he received some advice from the head of NPR.
From the head of NPR, yeah. He.
Am I going to have to feel guilty about all of this?
Well, he was the head of NPR at the time, who had been the former press secretary for Robert Kennedy and had been at the Peace Corps. He was a diehard against the metric system, and he at the time was facing the Reagan Budget Acts, and he kind of backdoored the idea that the U.S. Metric Board was a couple of million dollars that could just ease that no one would miss. So
we're talking about Frank Mankiewicz.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Frank Mankiewicz.
Now, so it came down to economics. At that point, the economy was going through a bad time, and it was felt that it would just be too expensive for America to make the adjustment.
Well, it more came down to, I think it was one of those things. It was just another shovel of dirt on the grave. And it wasn't that Reagan was against the metric system. I mean, he signed into law stuff later in his administration that strengthened it. It was that the U.S. Metric Board, partly the U.S. Metric Board, was somewhat incompetent. They did a very they spent a big portion of their budget on a series of PSAs that used the pronunciation kilometer, which is based on barometer, thermometer, when it's supposed to actually be kilometer. And still to this day, we say kilometer. I think partially because of that mistake.
In February 1982, the CBS News, the Evening News, ran a story called A Defeated Measure, which described the attempted metric conversion as a whole lot of hoopla.
Yeah, that report really went over the top they really poured on over the death of the metric system. There were newspaper articles saying that, you know, any act that's killed has some people who are mourning it, but you know, this reporter is finding a hard time finding anybody to mourn this one.
Do you think that we will ever convert to the metric system?
You know, I think we are so converted, and I think it's one of those things where it's almost become a style thing. You know, if you go to beer gardens, have become so popular. If you go to a beer garden, you'll order liters of beer. So. But then other people who are into the craft brewing movement, they feel that a pint is somehow a more honest thing. So it's almost become just, you know, another part of the commodity.
And then Tom in California has written in to ask how difficult it would be to switch American football from English to the metric system. In other words, the 100-yard field would become the 91.44-meter field.
Yeah, well, that would be one thing I don't think will ever happen. Although they did start in the 70s. There were even in baseball, there were the outfield walls started to have metric measures on them.
So just let's take a call.
Sure.
From Derek from the Upper West Side. Hi,
Hi,
Derek.
Hello.
Hi, Upper West Side.
Yeah.
Couple of quick points. The
now is the Upper West Side metric or is that
regional? The foot, as we use in our measurement system, comes from the length of Constantine the Great's foot. His actual foot was actually 12 inches.
Well,
and also the
that was a big foot.
The mile. I'm a little foggy on this because it's old information I read 40 years ago. But the Roman legions and Roman century rate of march was exactly 4 miles per hour. And that's how a legionnaire or a centurion could dispatch troops in different directions on a map and have them meet up at specific times without direct communications because they knew how fast they were marching and how many hours a day they would march.
Do you think those are accurate?
Not really. There's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of urban legend around all systems of measurement. The most popular thought of the origin of the foot is actually that it was Hercules's foot, which is one that I like.
Now, has anybody estimated how much it would cost if we did decide within the next 10 years to convert to the metric system?
No, the last
it would be a lot easier for kids to learn at school.
Yeah, it would be.
It's tens. It's a decimal system.
Yeah, but you know, I think that there really is something important in learning these other. I mean, nobody advocates that Americans only knowing one language. I mean, we're not taught. I think everybody should be taught at least one other language at school, because it allows you to start thinking in ways that are unfamiliar to you. I mean, there is something to be said for realizing that things can be divided into twelfths and sixteenths and eighths, that 10 is not how the world is ordered. In fact, it's a very artificial measure. It's a very artificial division. It's only because of the numbers of digits on our hands.
But everything is artificial. The week is 7 days long because of the Old Testament.
Well, the calendar is far more messed up than our customary system of measures, I'd argue. But I mean, think about 12. You can divide it evenly into halves, thirds, and quarters. I mean, there's no way, you know, to divide 10 into thirds, one of the most basic divisions. You have 0.33333 going on forever.
Okay, you convinced me. John Bemelman's Marciano, his book, Whatever Happened to the Metric System, How America Kept Its Feet, is published by Bloomsbury. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.